Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local pubcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm the other Mark.
3 pints, Sally. And what are you having?
I'll have a margarita.
Cheers. I'll fetch him over.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Mark.
How are we doing?
All right,
yeah.
Buddy.
Yeah, I'm good.
Oh, hold on. Is it just me or can anyone else smell that?
What, you?
Smell. Not me, no.
I can smell it,
acid.
Yeah.
Acid. Yeah. Yeah, I can smell a little bit of it.
I thought one of you had been to Chippy or something before you came, before you came to the pub.
No, that'd be me. Sorry, can you smell it? I thought I'd done a good job of getting rid of it.
Oh, yeah. Have you been to doctors for it?
I had an accident earlier.
Oh, hello.
Oh, well,
here we go.
So you know how I'm heavy-handed and I'd like to do things rather fast.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I don't know where this is going, but...
Yeah. And I've said all my life, I feel sorry for him at some times.
Well, I read this thing on the internet.
Oh, oh dear.
And I thought, I'll give it a go. Because the sun was shining today.
Mm.
Yeah. So I thought, I know what I'm going to do. There's a couple of stains on patio.
All right.
I know. Don't ask. They're just like weather stains or something, I think.
Okay.
Probably splashes of food, maybe from last year or whatever. Yeah. You know, when it goes onto your patio and you don't expect it like dries out, and obviously it's been really wet onto it over winter. And then I thought, could just do a getting pressure washer on them. And then I read this thing on internet, and it said something like, and I don't know why, it was like it was reading my mind. Don't bother with the pressure washer. Here is a really easy hack for getting tough stains off your patio.
Right.
So it's mixing warm water with white vinegar.
That's what I can smell. Vinegar.
Okay.
That's the fish and chips.
That's vinegar. What I can smell.
Yeah. Acid. I got the smell of acid.
So cutting a long story short, you had a bath in this vinegar. That's why you've...
Well, inadvertently, yes. Oh. So basically, I got this jug and I thought, right, I filled it half up with warm water.
Mm-hmm.
And then tepid water, yeah.
Yeah, tick.
And oh, did you say tick? I thought you said tepid.
No, when you said water and vinegar, so I'm like, right, you've got the water, tick. Yeah.
And then we've got a bottle of white vinegar. So I thought, obviously, went to empty it into a jug of water.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got, obviously, you know, for like, when you're emptying vinegar onto chips and stuff, it's got like a small...
It's just got a pinhole in it.
Yeah.
Stop it coming out at once.
Yeah. Over you type thing.
And this is a plastic bottle of vinegar. And I were like... thinking this is coming out really slow, you know, and I was like, this is going to take me ages. Okay. So I squeeze bottle and then it's like spurting out, and then but that weren't fast enough
for you. Of course it wasn't.
Yeah, so I properly squeezed it blew the cap off the end of the vinegar, which then inadvertently emptied the jug of water and vinegar all over me, all over the kitchen.
No.
Yeah, it stank. Absolutely rotten. And can you imagine trying to mop that up?
I bet you got your stains up.
Well, the thing is, there were none left to put on patio. They were all in kitchen. So there were just kitchen roll everywhere trying to soak it up. And my eyes were watering. It was like I'd been sprayed with pepper spray.
Was Helen in at this point?
No. Although she did come back a little bit later on and I wasn't in. And I got a text message saying, well, this house smells fan-bloody-tastic. Which I thought she did well to censor herself because it... really sharp. You know, I mean, you know what vinegar's like.
And also, you still can't tell us whether it is actually a decent hack or not.
No.
And his patio's still dirty.
What I do know is the smell does stick around, obviously.
Yeah, oh, clearly.
Yeah. Have any of you ever had one of these internet hacks? That, like, you go, do you know something? We've got a salute. Or something comes up and you think, ooh, I'm going to have a go at that.
I keep meaning to do the... I've seen one about, like, a pet-friendly weed killer. With like bicarbonate of soda and...
Bicarbonate?
Yeah, what's it called?
Bicarbonate of soda.
Sorry.
Kirk's getting like Rob now.
I know. I think it's bicarbonate of soda and I think vinegar.
Yeah.
And something else or whatever.
Soda or something, I don't know.
I keep meaning to try, but...
Well, I'll come around and I'll mix it for you.
Yeah. Just Mark Rock walks up in a hazmat suit.
I saw a video recently which wasn't a hack, but made me think, ooh, that could be a hack. Have you seen the videos where the people put tin foil on the sides and cats jump on the tin foil and completely freak out?
Oh, you said tin foil weird.
Tin foil.
So yes. Tin foil.
Tin foil?
Tinfoil.
Why are you going up in the middle?
Yeah, why?
It's tinfoil.
Tinfoil.
From Yorkshire.
I agree, actually. I am doing that really weird, aren't I?
Yeah. Tinfoil?
Tinfoil. That's what you said. What did you, that you said in another episode? Yeah.
Salad cream.
Yeah, instead of salad cream.
Salad cream on your tinfoil.
Yeah. Tinfoil.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Tinfoil.
Yeah.
Tinfoil.
Yeah. I don't know why I said it any different.
Tinfoil. Anyway, tinfoil and cats.
So, you put tinfoil on your work surface or anything, and if you've got a cat, if you haven't got a cat, it's just random.
Then
but
put some tinfoil on, go to a pet shop, buy a cat.
Come back, put the cat in the kitchen and let it jump on the tinfoil.
Yeah.
And the cat will jump off it like it's petrified or that. And I don't know what it is, if it's the reflection or what. Or it's the crinkle under the feet, but I don't know.
Is it because they've just got skidding on it and they can't get a grip?
Literally, if you watch the videos, they jump, and the second they jump on it, they freak out and jump.
I wonder if they've got fillings on the end of the paws.
Yeah. Can you imagine chewing on tin foil?
So I don't...
I knew cats were scared of cucumbers.
What?
What?
Scared of cucumbers?
You don't know this. Have you not... Google it, cats and cucumbers.
I am not googling cats and cucumbers. And I'm sure, don't even say it.
Anyway, back to, if you put a cucumber next to a cat, there's loads of videos on YouTube. It scares them and they run off. They're scared of them.
Well, that's what I was getting at. So maybe I'll try this as well.
Tinfoil and a cucumber.
You need to buy a cat first.
Cucumber wrapped up in tinfoil.
Yeah. The hack. Yeah. I think I've said it before, I'm absolutely sick of cats coming on the back garden. Right?
So what are you going to do? Tinfoil wrap your back garden?
Do they poo on it as well?
Yeah. He's not bothered about poo, it's just the cat's coming on the back garden.
It's like that bouncer in Philippines coming on your table. But the cats come on the... Oh, I can't say it now without thinking it. Cats arrive at my back garden, and then obviously they walk through the garden. Lottie goes mental because she's seen a cat.
Mental? Wow,
mental.
Okay.
One of the things they do all the time is walk across the fence, across the top of the fence.
Yeah.
And it's fairly wide.
Lottie's your dog, yeah?
Lottie, yeah, correct. Yeah.
You know what you should do? You should wrap Lottie up in tinfoil and get, you know, they can do like some fancy dress things and put like a knight in shining armour and send her running out into the garden when there's a cat.
With a cucumber in her mouth.
Yeah, with a cucumber.
Yeah. But I've thought now I could put a layer of tinfoil on top of the fence. Mm. So if they do try and walk on it, they'll jump off. So it wasn't a hack that I've seen, but I thought, ooh,
okay,
that could be a hack.
Well, why don't you try it and then report back to
us? Well, the thing is, I've tried everything else. From the squeak, from the loud, high-pitched noises that it gives off. And
to a shotgun.
Yeah. BB gun. Tried that. That kills them.
No, Rob hasn't killed a cat before anyone starts atting.
No, not one. So that's one hack that I have. I feel like there's loads of them that I've seen recently.
There's loads of hacks. You see them loads on.
There's loads of videos on there, isn't there, where they're like, you watch it and you think, oh, this is intriguing. And then it's just loads of rubbish when it gets to end, and it's deliberate.
Yeah,
like you're watching.
You watch it, and then they like smash it up or throw it in bin, and you go, really?
Then ones where they're drilling holes in things, and then they put something in it, and then they add something else, and they put something on that, and you're thinking, what is this going to be? And like I said, at end,
they just put it in bin.
It's just for you to watch it.
You're like, have I just wasted 3 minutes of my life?
I tell you what, I do like. I like watching videos of people doing hacks, and then that person then trying that hack out to see if it fails.
Oh, like myth busting.
Myth-busting.
Yeah.
That I saw kind of like that in a weird way, because they'll show someone like an influencer doing something and you go, oh, that looks amazing. And then I guess another influencer does that and they go, it don't work.
That reminds me of a woman I saw. This run Facebook, and she were on This Morning, you know, but it must have been an old one because it were Eamon Holmes and his wife. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In fact, they've split up now, haven't they?
Yeah.
And there were a woman on there, and at the bottom it said, they have like a banner across the bottom that says why that person's on. And my dog has turned vegetarian, right? She sat next to this guy who's a dog specialist, right? And he's obviously saying, look, it's not really the best thing, dogs to be vegetarian, whatever, they have a natural diet, blah, blah, blah. And then the producers bring out two bowls of food. One's just like vegetables and one's got like meat and stuff in it. And they go, right. And the woman says, oh yeah, he's turned vegetarian, he or she, and they're not even bothered, and they're not even looked twice at anything else.
Well, she was saying that it was his choice, when the dog's
right, yeah.
choice.
Yeah.
Because like you said, the specialist was very much like, look, you shouldn't, you know, it's not over healthy. And she was very much like, no, the dog's made their own choice. It's their choice.
And they've never looked back. Anyway, they put these two balls down. Dog walks over, has a sniff. Sniffs the first one, it's full of meat, starts eating it, stops, goes to the other bowl to have a sniff, and almost turns its nose and then goes back to the meat and finishes it off. And it's like, really? But that's what I mean. The like, internet is just full of stuff like
and
that.
And how did the woman react to that? Did she go, oh, yeah, fair call? Or did she go, no, that's never happened? Or why did she react to it?
I don't know, because I've only ever seen the clip, and that's where the clip finishes. So,
So I'm not taking any more... advice off the internet for hacks and things, because
perhaps we should do an episode about life hacks. About
honestly, the amount of ones I've seen, but then when someone says, "Have you seen any?" and you go,
"I've seen loads, but I can't think of them all." You know,
I've seen things before where I've looked at, and it's not necessarily a hack. It's something that is obviously in place for a reason, but then I never knew it was there. So, like for instance, I saw a thing on, I think it were TikTok or whatever. And it was two little latches on your oven door at the bottom.
Oh, yeah.
So you can, you unlatch these latches on your oven door, and you can slide
the
oven door off.
Can you?
You don't know.
What would you want to do that for?
I knew that.
To clean it.
To keep your kitchen warm.
Well, to clean it. So normally, if I'm cleaning the oven door or whatever, I'd be doing it at the oven and, like, we, you know.
Wow.
And literally, just two latches that you just lift off and...
Yeah.
I'll have to tell Ellen about that.
I'll tell you what, right? I've got to tell you this. We talked about Caravan and Motorhome Show other week, didn't we?
Yeah.
And I completely forgot about a situation that I wanted to tell you about. Have you ever been in a situation where you get the giggles or something tickles you and then you shouldn't laugh, but then you can't stop and it's the most awkward time when it could happen?
I'm a nervous giggler.
I don't think but in this situation it wasn't.
Are you going to say what I think you're going to say about a situation about giggling at a certain time?
What makes you think that, Mark? The fact that he just spent 30 seconds saying exactly that.
That all depends what you think I'm going to say.
What's so funny? Because he's not said where he's giggled yet.
Are you going to say something about...
because he hasn't started his story yet.
Are you going to say something about giggling, Rob?
But what comes to my mind when you say giggling at an appropriate time, I think he's going to say what I think he's going to say.
Yeah, giggling in an appropriate time.
It depends what you think I'm going to say as to whether it's right.
Well, naturally, when you said to someone, when's an inappropriate time to giggle? A funeral. That's what I thought you were
going to
say.
Oh, no. That would be very inappropriate.
Was there a funeral?
Have we got any other suggestions of places that's inappropriate to giggle?
I know, but that's the worst place you could giggle, isn't it, a funeral?
Can you read tea leaves as well, Mark?
No, but... Surely, that's where my mind goes.
Well, yeah. Do you know what? Honestly, at a funeral, it would be really... That wouldn't be the best place
I bet it's not that rare.
Murder crime scene?
Yeah.
But I'm never going to be at a murder crime scene.
How do you know?
Keep talking,
you might be.
I'm never going to be at a murder crime scene.
Anyway, do you want to know what the situation is?
He already knows. Yeah, he just won't tell us.
We don't need to know.
No, Mark
it's a
knows.
It's a funeral.
No.
Oh,
so...
Tell us then.
At the Caravan and Motorhome Show.
It was having a look around this motorhome. He was busting for the toilet, then decided he went into this toilet at motorhome and then started laughing.
Yeah.
I mean, did you?
I'll probably build it now. It's probably not even as funny as what you've made it out to be. So I'm at Caravan and Motorhome Show, and I gets talking to this it was like a shop. And there were a guy stood at these lithium-ion batteries. You know, like these big units you can buy now that have got, they're like mobile power banks.
Yeah.
Not a small one, big ones. They've got wheels on them and all sorts.
They're like little generators, aren't they? They've got
3 kilowatt units and that. Well, this was 6 kilowatt, this unit. So very, very powerful. The size of a suitcase that you take on holiday, a big suitcase. And this guy's there, I believe he was Chinese. And I got talking to him, and as I'm talking to him, I established that he was the guy who'd made this battery. He wasn't just there. He was there representing the company at this shop, if you like. And I got talking to him, talking about the batteries, and I was really enthusiastic about it and thinking, oh, I could use this for an idea for a YouTube video. So I said to him,
can I have one for free?
No, no. I said, can I get your email address so that I can, you know, contact you in the future if I've got questions or want to know some more information. It might be handy to have a contact. He was like, absolutely. So I said, what's your email address? So he gave me his email address. He obviously started with his name, and his name was Eric Wong. And as he said it, he told me his name and then said, it's a bit of a mouthful, isn't it? And I don't know what came over me or what went off in my head, but I think my brain was going to say, you're not wrong. But because of his surname, I genuinely looked at him and went, you're not Wong. And the fear that literally came over me. And then...
What did he say? I am.
He just looked at me. And then although I'm not a nervous giggler, then it starts.
Yeah.
So then you're trying not to laugh at your own joke whilst he's looking at you and you're trying to look at him to say, I didn't mean that. That just came out wrong. But at the same time as then smirking and almost laughing. So you now think you're laughing at your own joke. I wasn't laughing at my own joke. I was just nervous at what I'd just said.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get out of this hole. And it was so awkward. And he kind of just, I literally went, you're not Wong, wrong.
Wrong. You corrected yourself.
I corrected
as well.
Myself. Then started like nervously giggling and trying to get these words out. And I'm on my own. There were no one there to even like jump in or interject or anything. Oh my God, it was so embarrassing.
Was it just you two? There were nobody around him
just
either?
Just me and him.
Right, okay.
Yeah. I mean, he gave me his email address. It weren't like he didn't get face
on
or anything.
Was it Wong?
No, we're right. It was right.
Did he say anything? Did he pick up on it, or did he react?
He definitely picked up on it.
How did he react to it?
I think he just almost pretended he didn't notice, so that I didn't feel uncomfortable. Oh, okay. That was too late. I already felt very uncomfortable.
I would have died laughing next year.
You would have made it even worse.
Absolutely. I could just picture. Yeah. I could just picture it. He'd have had to walk off.
Oh, he would.
Which then would have made it 10 times as worse because it would
have
had
to
walk
off. Shoulders going.
Yeah. I feel as though I'm quite good at suppressing it. Unless I've got the absolute giggles and I find it really hard to stop then. Yeah. To a point where I can't breathe. But in certain situations, I feel as though I can control it, you know, quite well. There's only one time that I can remember clearly laughing and being the only one that laughed.
Was it at a funeral?
No.
Oh, okay.
Being the only one. You can tell the story if you want, though.
What story?
Mine.
I don't know it.
Oh, right.
If it's a funeral, then
sure?
I can.
Shut up, then.
Yeah, somebody died and Kirk started laughing.
I was the only one that laughed out loud. Okay. Thinking that other people was going to laugh out loud. Okay. Other people did laugh. You could tell that it was funny because it was funny. But everybody restrained themselves. And then because I'd laughed out loud and because the person I was looking at, I also knew was then struggling not to laugh. And I could just see shoulders starting to go.
Oh, are you looking? You referring
made
to Mark?
Made me laugh even more. And it was at Mark's wedding.
Mine?
Other one.
No, we weren't invited to yours.
Yeah. But
bit of context. It was COVID times. Thank you. Anyway, carry on.
And that's when there was a part of Mark's wedding where they had to kneel.
What?
Right.
So they had to like kneel in front of the
altar.
I never know the difference between a vicar, a priest. All the different names that we've got for him.
She was a vicar.
Vicar.
Yeah, that's a good question because there's loads of them, isn't there?
And they had to kneel on this cushion, this one bit. And as they knelt down, Mark nearly like went to fall forwards because he was so...
Well, I did in the practice.
You fell in the practice.
Yeah.
But then because...
Head first.
absolutely going in the practice. But then because of that happened in the practice... And then because he was, I know, thinking not to do that, I was there at the rehearsal, so I knew what happened at the rehearsal.
Yeah.
So I was already in my head thinking, don't do it.
Don't go.
Don't do it. But then a little bit of me going, go on, do it.
Go on.
Do it. He was obviously thinking about it as well. So when he went down to kneel down, you could see him almost like lean forward, so he didn't fall forward. But so then, but because I was thinking of the rehearsal about what happened,
yeah,
I laughed.
Yeah.
But it's almost as though, don't get wrong, it's not, I didn't laugh loud enough that everyone looked at me or whatever, but it was loud enough that people would have heard me laugh.
Yeah.
And everyone just chose not to
join in.
Okay. But I mean, don't get me wrong, he might not have been, but I could only see the back of him. But I felt as though Mark was then also trying not to laugh, which then was making me trying to hold it in so much.
I remember saying to myself, oh, please don't. Here we go again.
Yeah. So it's, that's the only time
that literally, you know, you can't.
In my head, I literally got my head down. I'm trying to look at what's happening, obviously. Bear in mind, I'm towards the front because I'm his best man. Do you know what I mean? And yeah. I'm just trying so hard not to laugh, because a little piece of me did think, if I did let go and really start laughing, he'd have started.
Yeah. we'd still be there today trying to get through vows.
Yeah.
I do remember it. I can't remember when it was. I just remember being on the cruise ships doing a play. And it was a comedy, thankfully, but it wasn't a comedic moment within the play. It was quite a, more of a somber moment.
Did somebody die? Were we at a funeral?
No.
Oh.
I think it was Abigail's party. Have you ever seen it used to be...
Something else that Mark weren't invited to.
Yeah.
I weren't there either.
Don't matter.
Well, no, not this. This was years back when I worked on cruise ships, and it were a very somber moment. And I just remember someone said something or did something in the audience. I can't remember what it was. Something happened. Someone in the audience farted or something, because the crowd were really old, and it happened quite frequently. And it just someone.
Are you sure
did
it
some,
weren't me?
If that, I mean, someone did something, and it got me, and I couldn't. It's a live theatre. You're trying not a serious moment. You're trying to hold it in, but like I said, your shoulders are going. You're half giggling, and you know you've got lines coming up that you're not meant to be laughing when you say them. But how you don't know how you're going to get your lines out without it coming out, and it would totally ruin the moment.
And thinking about it makes you laugh even more.
Yeah,
doesn't
it? And yeah. Sweat at the moment. At the time, you know, you're like, oh no, this is awful, and I can't stop it. It's an awful feeling. It really is.
What about you, Mark?
Well, you know what I'm going
to say. I know what you're
going to
say.
Do
you?
I do.
Do you know what I'm going to say? Because you should know what I'm going
to
say.
Are you going to say that it happened to you at a funeral?
No. No, I've been to loads of funerals, but I've never laughed or heard anyone laugh. No, you know what I'm going to say here? As in, it has happened to me where I've been in a situation where...
Are we going to finish your sentence?
You go on.
But I can't remember.
I can't remember stuff. So
how do we even get through these episodes with Mark when he can't remember anything?
Well, the Philippines were different. I took notes.
Yeah,
I had to.
In all fairness, Daisy's exactly the same. You know, her memory is absolutely terrible.
It's terrible.
Like specific things she can remember. So, like if it's something of detail, then she can remember it because she's supposed. If it's something that she's supposed to remember, but like. If you said to Daisy, oh, what did you do last Tuesday or whatever, but she just would not be able to recall it, or certainly not be able to recall any detail of it. So Daisy's the same. It reminds me a little bit of Mark when she says it, because it's exactly the same. She'll go, oh yeah, I know that has happened, or I know that I probably did do that.
Yeah.
But I can't
recall
remember,
the stories.
No.
I mean, what I find baffling is, and I think I've said it before on podcasts, is people like, you know, my age and older or what, they'll go, oh, I remember when I was 8 years old, I used to do this, and they have very vivid, you know, story, and I can't remember any of it. I just can't.
Wait, it's a long way back though, isn't it?
It is, but you know, I just can't remember little stories and stuff. I am rubbish at stories.
In all fairness.
So, sorry guys.
How good my dad is at remembering things. Now, all right, granted, my dad's 65 this year, I think.
Is he good? Is he good? Is that what you were going to say?
He's a good man. Yeah, he's a good man.
No, is he good? No, is he good at remembering stories?
No, he's horrific at remembering anything.
Me and your dad need to get together and we'll go, what did you do? I can't remember. We just sit in silence.
Saying you can't remember, yeah.
We just sit there talking.
But it's really bad. Not to the point, I'm not worried in terms of he's got an issue, but... In general, it does make me think: am I going to be this bad in 20 years?
Yeah, well, I don't think it doesn't run. Does it run? It, what do you call it when it runs in family?
Hereditary.
That's it.
Go on, say it.
Hereditary.
Yeah, I'll do.
Hereditary.
Okay. So, can't you remember like when you were a kid? and you get to end of March and you had to go out and move the sundial forward in that way.
I can't remember sundials. I don't think we had sun that far back. But yeah, I don't. What was that word again?
Hereditary.
Yeah, I don't think it's that, Rob. So I don't think it's. I don't think it's. Is it? I don't know. Is it?
I don't know.
I hope it's not. Or maybe dad has got onset. What do you call it?
Dementia. Alzheimer's.
What's the difference between the two?
Alzheimer's and dementia.
Yeah. What's the difference between the two?
Well, scientifically, I don't know. If I was to hazard a guess what I believe the difference is, I believe one is a memory issue. Alzheimer's is like a memory issue. And one is like
a memory issue.
A dementia is that you like confused about where you are or
who people are.
Yeah.
I kind of know because I have that experience with dementia, but again, it's hard to understand what exactly the differences are between them.
As far as that, from an extreme, I think it's such as like someone with early onset Alzheimer's might forget whether they've put sugar in the tea or not, so put it in. Do you know what? It reminds me of a story that I've
got. Is dementia not exactly the same as that, though?
I don't know.
I think Rob's Googling it, so we're going to get an answer in a minute.
It does remind me of a story, though, of McGraw. I was at my grandma and granddad's house, and they were knocking on a bit. It was before they went into a home. And my granddad used to have a cup of tea with three sugars with a wet spoon. All right. And that's always
wet spoon?
Yeah, three sugars with a wet spoon. That's all what he always used to ask for. Cup of tea, three sugars with a wet spoon. And
Well, it'd be wet after the second one, wouldn't it?
Probably,
because you'd put the spoon in, it's going to be wet. First one won't be wet.
I don't know.
No, but it's right. I'm just telling you what my granddad used to say. I never used to question the logic. I know, but I'm trying to work out his logic.
I think the logic is simply, don't forget to stir it.
Yeah.
Really?
Maybe.
Well, yeah, because your spoon's going to be wet then, isn't it, when you're stirring it. Yeah.
So when he says wet spoon, it's not wet when you first put it in, is it?
I think it's a turn of phrase just for stir it properly, please.
I've never heard that. Anyway, carry on.
I must admit, I've never.
Anyway.
I've never heard it.
I remember being in the kitchen and my grandma was making a cup of tea and she were starting to forget little things. Nothing dangerous, but forget little things. And she stood there and I watched her make a cup of tea and put three sugars with a wet spoon into my granddad's tea. And then I saw her turn round, put like tea towel or whatever outside, turn back round to the cup of tea, get the pot of sugar and put another three sugars in my granddad's tea. And I thought, well, I can't say anything because I don't want her to feel daft or silly. Do you know what I mean? And then, so she put three sugars in this other, walked to the other side of the kitchen because she were making me and her a coffee. And when she used to make coffee, she used to warm the milk up in a pan, a little saucepan on cooker. So she went and got the milk and then she poured it into our coffees and then she got the sugar pot. She got the sugar pot and she put the sugar in her coffee, she put the sugar in my coffee and then she put three more sugars in my granddad's tea. And I thought, oh my God. I thought, I can't say...
You have to leave a spoon in this room to eat it.
I thought, I can't say anything now. She stirred them all and then she went and got the tea towel that she put on the side earlier. She went... picked it up, folded it up, and she got like one of these rails that you pull, like it slid out. You pulled out, put your tea towel on, and then slid away. So she did that, pulled it. She went back, she picked sugar pot.
Oh,
up,
no.
And she said to me, she went, have I put sugars in?
And you went, no, I don't think you have. You need to put some more.
And at that point, I did say to her, yes, you've, there's sugar in them all. She's like, oh, good. And she obviously took tea through to my granddad. He never said anything or whatever. But there were a little thing in my head that I thought to myself, I wonder if there's no one there sometimes, I wonder how many sugars granddad gets in his tea.
I'm more worried about granddad because he must be drinking this like
syrup.
And he's not saying anything. So if she's pointing sugar, what's going on?
Kirk's there and he does his first gulp and then says to, oh no, that's not enough sugar in that. Because he's used to way more.
Because he's used to like half a bag of sugar in it.
Yeah.
Did you find out what the difference is, Rob?
So Alzheimer's disease, a specific progressive brain disorder and most common causes of dementia.
Oh, right, okay.
And dementia, a general term for cognitive decline that affects memory, thinking, problem solving and daily functioning.
Right, so it's almost like a step.
That's what I've got.
One step up. So,
yes.
Yeah, okay.
Which is what I only learnt the other day. What's his face that ran our Dead or Alive that passed away recently, him and his wife? Gene Hackman.
Oh, Gene Hackman, yes.
Yeah. They thought it was, originally, I'd heard that they thought it was carbon monoxide, didn't they, poisoning?
Well, there were lots of theories thrown around. They thought there was something to do with food because dog had died, so they thought they'd cook some and they poisoned themselves and gave it dog. There were that.
Yeah.
Then there was some, like what you've just said, with
carbon monoxide. Yeah.
Then there were another one I heard.
The one that actually did it. Was his wife passed away first?
First, yeah.
Is it HERS or something? Like an infection that you can get from rats and mice.
Mm. Yeah.
It's an airborne particle.
Well, this is what they think.
Up.
They don't 100% know. They just go
but
in
they
with
know
that,
that she got that because the autopsy's shown, and they think she died first. And then because he'd got dementia, he just didn't know.
He was just wondering around the house, wondering where she were. But she then forgot where she were. Then.
Yeah.
So, but surely, did he not go to... I mean, how big's this house?
It's a pretty big.
I can imagine it's quite a size.
I know the Hollywood stars, but I mean, it's a bit. I mean, if like you know, my Aina passed away, I wouldn't be walking around the house, stepping over her, going, well, "Where is she?" So this house must have been big for him to not see her.
Yeah, but you're missing the part that he's got dementia.
Yeah.
True, but if
so, he could have stepped over her and then 2 minutes later forgot that he stepped over her.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe
not even realizing who he stepped over.
And why did the dog die? Did he just think, he'd not been fed?
Yeah, because at first you thought it were all the dogs, but there were three, weren't there? Two dogs survived.
Yeah. It's very strange, though. When it first came out, the story.
It's strange and very sad, isn't it?
And sad,
but yeah. Speaking of the elderly, I told you my grandma passed away recently, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
And I'm not sure if to say that... That certainly can't say something's good. Could come out of it because that would be completely incorrect. But we, as a result of it, I've ended up reconnecting with all my cousins at the funeral. Obviously, it's, you know, these times when you literally got. I've now brought it back full circle to a funeral, Mark.
Yeah.
He knew what you were going to say.
Yeah, he told you what you were going to say. And did you have a
20 minutes ago?
You didn't have a giggle at this funeral,
no.
Did you?
I think we had plenty of giggles. Yeah, but funerals are one of those places where you meet up with family members and go, you know what? We really shouldn't be doing this every time. It's always one of these events, isn't it? And everybody's guilty of it. Everybody says
the same thing.
And I remember saying to all my cousins, look, can I get your number? You know, and I went round, every single one of them got the numbers. And for one reason or another, I had to contact all my cousins and they said nieces.
How many cousins have you got?
There is 9 of us. No, there's 10 of us. There was 10 of us, including me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got 9. I'm the 10th.
Complicated question, wasn't it, Ray?
Sorry. Yeah. We all met up the other week and it was just so fantastic to see everybody because you just don't, I think it's rare that you ever really make time to see extended family.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like we've all got our own families, well, be it immediate families, our parents and brothers and sisters, but seeing extended
I'm glad
family.
You explained what immediate families are, Rob.
Well, you know what
I'm surprised Mark hadn't started listing what an immediate family is.
Well, hold on. Because ironically, it's not ironic at all, but what you would class as your immediate family, Barnab, who's your immediate family?
Your immediate family is like your brothers and sisters and parents, isn't it?
I don't know. Would you not say it's your wife and your kids? That's your immediate family, is it not?
I probably overthought it a little bit.
Yeah, because that's where I overstepped them. Yeah, because that's...
You forgot all about it.
Because that's where I'm going with it, in the respect that for you it might be that, but for me, it's just me and Gemma and the dog.
Yeah.
So it's not...
The dog?
That's
before your parents.
That's what I'm getting at, is that for you, you've got your own internal families as such, yeah? And so, whereas me and Gemma might be more likely to say our immediate families are our parents.
Yeah.
Because we haven't got our own kids, so we don't... Do you know what I mean? We are a family.
I know what you meant.
I mean,
it's just that you're including a dog that's not human. But that's what I meant.
Because that's the only thing we've got to even come anywhere near close to a family. So, yeah. So anyway, so this we actually met up as cousins.
Yeah.
And it was just so fantastic to actually get chance to speak to everybody and catch up with people. I mean, we didn't
this is after the funeral, isn't it?
Yeah,
And you did well to get everybody together because it's hard.
Honestly, mate. So I set up a WhatsApp group, right? I just set up a WhatsApp group, another one, and just put a message out. Does anybody want to meet up for a drink and catch up? And literally, I'm up for that.
Well, that's one thing, but then trying to get a date's another, and that's the thing.
And I literally...
So well done.
What date? Literally, within the space of 10 texts, we've got a yes and a date.
And don't tell me everybody turned up apart from you because you were busy.
No. Unfortunately, one of the cousins got stranded in, I want to say, Istanbul with the snow. They had really bad snow recently.
Yeah.
And if they didn't, then it wasn't Istanbul. And we couldn't make it, was it? Yeah. And so she couldn't make it. So we actually just cancelled and said, right, what's the next date everyone can do? And again, within a couple of messages, we got a second date. And we all met up, and it was absolutely brilliant.
When was the last time you saw him before the funeral?
Okay, so
2002.
I think it was different for different people, but the earliest I'd seen someone was probably 5 years. The next was about 7 or 8 years, and the longest was about 16 years.
Wow.
And I'm the oldest. So
some of these must have been what, teens or kids even?
Yeah. Yep. Kids, yeah. Yeah, one of them, I can't remember the difference. When I last saw Kirk, not this Kirk, I reckon he was about 5. Oh. And now he's 18, 19.
Oh, okay.
He's probably about 5 the last time I saw him.
Yeah, that was probably the last time I saw him. Just don't see each other very often. And it was just really fantastic to see people that you know are your family, that you just don't make time for no other reason than you're just busy.
Busy, yeah. Life gets in the way.
Yeah, life gets in the way. Everyone's got their own lives.
Yep.
And it consumes us at times, and you just don't make that, plans to see that. It's hard enough. I find it hard enough to make time to see my mum and dad and my sister. I very rarely see any of them.
Do they live locally?
Yeah. My dad lives...
cousins?
Oh, pretty much, yeah. Yeah. They all live within Rotherham, I think. Two of them do live more Sheffield way, but they're all close enough.
Yeah, it's local enough, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I'm terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, you're terrible.
You're not that bad. You're a nice person.
I am. No, I'm terrible. And it is my... I won't say my own fault. I suppose it is. I mean, my problem is throughout very influential ages, my work took over my life.
Yeah.
And I could quite easily blame work for that, but I let it happen. And it got to a point where my morning, noon and night was work. That was it. It was, I was working six days a week, in some cases 12, 13, 14 hours a day. So it got to the point where I hardly saw anybody, never mind, close friends, family, whatever it was, I never saw anybody. But more importantly, it stopped me going to family events, so like family parties.
Yeah.
Now, I have a big family, a very big family. I've no idea how many. I think the last time I counted, which was years and years and years ago, I think I had some like 30, 40 cousins.
No. Wow.
So I have a massive family.
Really?
And that is massive.
I didn't realise your family were that big.
Mm, yeah.
Because I think I've met your mum, your dad and your sister.
Yeah, they're not his cousins.
No, but that's what I'm saying. To say you've got a big family, I've only met three of them. I've never met any of your cousins.
Well, my dad had... 10 siblings. Siblings? That's brothers and sisters, isn't it?
Yeah.
So 10 siblings.
Wow.
My mum's got 4 siblings. And obviously each one of them have obviously had kids and more than one kid and stuff like that.
Crazy.
So massive. And when I was younger, there's a lot of cousins in and around the same age group.
Yeah.
I'd say certainly within 5 or 6 years. you know, there's a lot of, you know, issue. And I used to see these cousins maybe weekly or certainly fortnightly. We'd go to their house. If mum and dad, obviously my mum and dad was visiting their parents' house, and therefore you then got to see the cousins. And then I reckon that there was at least twice a year where we would have some reason for a family party, a family get together. Mark used to come to them.
Yeah. I've probably been to more family parties than Kirk has.
Yeah. yeah, very true. And it was great. You know, everyone got on. Obviously, families are families. You know, there's always going to be ups and downs and or whatever. But fundamentally, when we all got together, it was great, you know, seeing each other or whatever. But then it got to a point where, because my life was whole consumed with work, if there were family events, family parties, whether it be birthdays or engagements or whatever it is, I couldn't go. I couldn't go. And I never prioritised it. That's not because of the family thing. I didn't prioritise anything apart from work. And so I just couldn't go. And then what happens is, when you don't go to so many, you stop getting invited to them.
Yeah.
Not through anyone's fault or whatever. You just become... you're not thought about.
Yeah.
You know, and then it gets to a point where, even though you know deep down that you probably could just go to a party or whatever, too much time's gone on. So now I've got like cousins out there that I've got on really well with, that I've grown up with, you know, that I not only do I not see, I don't speak to.
No.
I don't speak to. You know, and it is sad.
It is very sad.
It's sad when I've got such a big family, and you know, a lot of people would kill for a family of my size.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, they still do get. There's a core group of the family that still do get together for either birthdays or whatever. I still see that on Facebook or whatever, because obviously you're friends with them on Facebook or whatever, and I still see that they meet up or they go out or whatever. And I just feel now completely removed from it, for my own fault. My own fault.
Yeah.
And for no other reason apart from I lost touch with them and now feel as though I don't know how I'd
reintroduce
myself into that circle.
Yeah.
You know, and that's sad. You know, I mean, one of my cousins that I grew up with is married to somebody that was one of my best friends growing up. And their husband and wife, they've got kids, they live local.
And you don't see them.
And I bet it's been...
He can't even remember the name.
No, I can't.
If I had 30, I won't be able to remember the names either.
You'd be surprised how many I could recall. But I bet I haven't seen them in 15 years, maybe. You know.
And the worry is that, as well as our parents and grandparents...
Do you know what? I'm going to say this. I have seen them in passing at the last funeral that I went to, at my auntie's funeral.
Again.
And I did see them, but again, I felt so, I don't want to say awkward, because I don't want to make it out as though they were making me feel awkward, because they wasn't. I just felt completely out of touch with everybody from my own doing.
Yeah.
You know, so even though I went to the funeral to pay my respects, obviously, I then didn't really go to the wake or whatever. Or if there's been a time when I have gone to the wake or whatever, I've just sat with my dad. Do you know what I mean? And stuff like that. And it's awful, really, because actually, you know, we were a close family. And like I say, a lot of people would kill for a big family.
I must admit, growing up, I were really envious at the way that your family operated. We were really big, really big family. And it always seemed to be that if something was happening, everybody was there. And it were like, so it was almost everyone took the time to make whatever event it was really special.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I looked at that. You know, because I've not got a really big family.
No.
And and so I looked at things like that growing up, and then I don't make enough time for the family I've got. Because it's in the same way, you know, you make excuses, you're busy or you're whatever, and you get a bit of downtime and you decide to do something with that time that's not necessarily family orientated as such. So, you know, you could argue that actually, well, you know, what were important then, is it still important? And, I mean, who knows? It's
You've got quite a big extended family, Mark.
No, not at all. I've got a really small family.
Have you?
So, you know, going back to your question, I would like to have a bigger family. Because, you know, like your family, for example, Rob, you know, and I don't know about, obviously I know about Kirk's, he's just told us it, but certainly yours, Rob, I don't know about yours so much more, but you tend to do a lot of family stuff together. You know, like Christmas, you'll all get together, you know, you'll go to somebody's house or whatever. So, but for me, I have two brothers, of course they've got kids, so I've got nieces and nephews. And I sort of see him a little bit, but not...
Can't see him too much at Christmas. It'd mean him buying a present for kids.
Well, that's the thing. As a family, we just... None of us buy presents for anyone. We've never done it. So again, you know, I don't buy anything for my brothers. They don't buy anything for me. Obviously, I mean, I've no grandparents. I've no parents. So, you know, the only people I've sort of got are my two brothers. Mm. You know, one lives in Doncaster, one lives in Sheffield. So, but we've never been a family that's, you know, where you do the family thing, you get round, you know, Christmas. We've never done that. So, family, it's a bit of a weird thing because although family is important, you'd be hard pushed to find anybody that's family's not. I'm not interested in family. I mean, yes, but people love the family. But I'm not a family type person. You know, I don't spend time with my family very much. You know. Mm. I don't do family things. I don't go on holidays with them. We don't have them around for Christmas. So it's a relatively small circle of family members, if you like.
I've just realised that actually, I there ain't 10 of us, there's 18 of us. I forgot about my dad's side.
It's a good job you corrected that because those other eight that are listening are going, hang on a minute. I didn't name them.
The reason why I said the 10 was because that's the 10 that I got in contact with and it was all my mum's side of the family.
Because you saw them at the funeral.
Dad's side is an extra 8, but a lot of them are Scotland. Well, they're all from Scotland, but they've moved all over the country now. Some live in England, but I see them even less.
So, and what I was just going to say, as you know, obviously I'm married to Aina, and none of her family's here either. So, of course, there's that side of things that, you know, like Gemma, she's got her family here. You know, same with Daisy, she's got her family here, but Aina's got no family.
She released all the families.
but you know what I'm saying? There's none of her family here, so we can't invite her family round. There's just her. Mm. No. You know, my family's quite tiny. So, I mean, I do worry about a little bit of for Ethan. Type of things. He's no brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
You know, so when he's older, I don't really know who he's going to have as family. He's going to be able to count on literally one hand who his family is. Because one of his cousins, his nephew. This is where it get confused here.
Are you asking or telling us?
No, I'm asking.
Well, so, if he's got no brothers and sisters, he's certainly not got a nephew.
Well, so who would, so who would be my brother's kids to
cousins?
Him? Cousins. So one of the cousins lives in New Zealand. Another one we sort of don't know much about. Then the others are sort of doing their own thing. So as he gets older, he's going to sort of lose touch with these, you know. So he's sort of pretty much going to be on his own, if you know what I mean. Because this is where big families come in, because you have brothers and sisters to bounce off. Mm. You know, so it's in some way, our family is getting smaller and smaller as time goes on. But that's just how it is.
I think families in general are getting smaller, if you want me to be honest. Yeah. I mean, like, if you listen to our parents or our grandparents or whatever, you know, they'd be very rare that they only had one or two kids.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That, you know, three, four, five, you know, I mean, the families were much bigger. Obviously, they didn't have TVs to keep.
I was just about to say, they don't have TVs.
You know, but I think families are getting smaller. I've done my bit. I've had three.
Absolutely. I've got none, so I'm doing my bit in lowering the numbers.
Do you want kids? You don't have to answer that. I'm just...
No, is the honest answer.
Okay.
And it's one of them things, isn't it, where I often thought, because you get to an age, and I think it's probably this age, if not 2 years before this, 3 years before this, 4 years before this, where you're just thinking...
Five,
yeah. I'll just give all the numbers, shall I, Mark? Where you start questioning, am I making a mistake here, or am I doing something I shouldn't be doing, or am I doing the right thing, or whatever. But I always thought to myself, there's an age where I kind of see, you either have them young, when you're in your early 20s, so that by the time they're in their 20s, you're in your 40s, you're still young, from our perspective, and you've got plenty of years ahead of you, and you can, and then make, you know, go and do the things that you didn't do necessarily when you were younger, because you were bringing up children. then the opposite side of that is then where you have them maybe in your early 30s, where you've had a good 10 years of enjoying life.
Freedom.
Yeah, you've enjoyed freedom. Your freedom, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you have the kids, and even then when they get older, you're only in your 50s.
Mm.
When you get to 40s, you're already, or I feel already, quite stuck in my ways.
Yeah.
And I've already established a life and a way of being that then to then shake that up and have children, and I start adding that to the fold and thinking, when these start leaving out, I'm 60, I'm the age my dad is now, and they're only just going to uni pretty much.
Mm.
And I'm just like, oh no, I feel like I've got so much to do. I've not even started yet. You know, so much I want to do. And I think also, and I hope there's some people that can identify with this that are listening, because when I was younger, I never ever remember thinking, oh, when I have children, or oh, when I've got my children, or I don't ever remember thinking that, ever. It's always been about when I'm an actor, when I'm doing this, when I'm going here.
So it's all
when
about, I'm all about you.
It's all about, yeah, genuinely. Yeah? It's always, in my head, it's always been about me and what I want to do and what I want to achieve, rather than when I'm going to have a family.
I know it sounds harsh, as in the harsh words, but I have heard other people before, and women as well as men, that when I've said, you know, about kids or whatever, and they've said, no, I'm too selfish for children.
Yeah.
And they don't mean it in a horrible way. It just means that, you know, if you do value what you do and your day-to-day basis of you, then if you want to put that first, you know, I suppose it is a form of selfishness, but just not, it doesn't have to be a negative way.
I would probably say it's actually a responsible thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I know there are parents out there that don't make the time.
Yeah. No, you know, I think that's...
And so that's what you've done is the responsible thing. There are people, and there will be parents out there that have kids, and they don't have the time for the kids, and they, you know, effectively, you call them dragging them up or whatever, don't they?
You never get people saying, oh yeah, but you'd be a great dad. And you think, and I think, do you know what? I think I would
just
be.
Just being nice to you.
Yeah. I think I would be a great dad in some respects. And in other respects, I'd quite likely be a nightmare.
Look, fundamentally, you are a good person. Gemma's a good person. You'd be great parents. But, you know, it's not about in some aspects, in other aspects. You're good people. But if you're too selfish, if you want your life to be your own, then having children takes that away.
Yeah, and you can't help but think that, you do it and you go for it, and then you start resenting because
which can happen.
You're not having the life that you then you start thinking, well, I didn't want them, or you know what I mean.
I do have a question for the Mark though, and I'm sorry, you can by all means tell me that, because we haven't planned for this kind of personal questioning.
Yeah.
But so by all means, if you take the fifth and all that.
Take the fifth.
Yeah. How did you find it having such a big age gap between your kids? Because it was almost like you, if we're going to use the analogy of getting your freedom back or whatever it is, you almost were starting to see that started again.
So there's a 10-year age gap between our eldest daughter and his youngest daughter.
Hmm.
And I think it were twofold, really, because we had our first daughter when we were really quite young. And so it had, obviously, the challenges of you're still quite immature. But waiting that time, I think, give you almost a responsible and a bit of hindsight as to, you know, you grow as a person, don't you? And you've been
maturing.
You've been a parent for a while as well, and so you handle things a little bit differently. I think it's almost worked really well in some respects that they've not clashed. You know, like you sometimes you hear about kids clashing because they're growing up together and they're fighting over toys and stuff. Well, because the age gap, that doesn't really exist.
Right.
The relationship that they've got with each other is fantastic. You know, they take the mickey out of each other, which you would expect, and almost you want that.
Encourage,
absolutely. You want that bit of banter and whatever. I don't think the age gap really, you know, like you said about having the freedom, I don't think it really matters, because I think most parents who might listen to this would probably say it doesn't matter how old your kids are, they're always your kids. Mm. And there's always going to be something, you know, whether they're 20s, in the 30s, in the 40s, they need the parent. They're ringing them up, or, you know, whether it's to lend them some money or give them some advice or whatever. And no matter how old they get, they're always going to be dependent on you to some extent. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So I don't think the age things are...
Yeah, I used to listen to some of Mark's stories, obviously, as Leonie was getting older, because Mark was the first in our friendship group to have a child. Mm. And as Leonie was getting older, and obviously then I had kids, and I'd be like saying about certain things of, oh, this is a nightmare, or this is a nightmare, or I can't wait till the kid's old enough to do this, or I can't wait, and, you know, and then Mark would tell me some of the stories about, obviously, as Leonie started hitting 14, 15, you know, so, yeah. And I remember saying to him, it don't get any easier, does it? And he's just like, and he was like, no, they're just different problems. They're just different different worries or different concerns and different, you know.
I think it'd give me bloody anxiety. Mm. I really do, because I don't like, and I know you can't control it, there's not an awful lot you can control in life, there is some things, but that's one thing that you can do your best, but you just don't know, do you? Do you know what
and
I mean?
And that's why it's always best to have a well-stocked fridge.
I agree. You know what I have just realised is, though, that between us, we've got 0, 1, 2, 3 kids.
Yeah.
I never even thought that before.
How old's Ethan now?
He's 23.
And how old's Leonie?
She's 24 this year.
Yeah, so 24 this year. So
Ethan's 24 this year.
Oh, right, so same year. Wow. Same year.
Because having one must be different to having two, and two must be different to having three.
Yeah. Yeah.
And having none is... And having
fantastic. Different to having one. It's different to having four.
Which is different to having 12.
I didn't say that. I just said it was fantastic.
Time at the bar, please.
You've not mentioned one having a boy, one having a girl. That's different.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, there is a difference. Boys are way easier.
I'm just saving up for the yacht.
Oh, yeah.
The yacht. Yeah. It'll never happen.
Yeah, you're a dinky, aren't you?
I'm sorry?
You're a dinky.
Are we talking about yachts or...
Well, when you just said about having a yacht, and I've just realised that you're a dinky.
What's that mean?
I don't know what that means. It means
double income, no kids yet.
Oh, is that what that means?
Yeah, a dinky. Double income, no kids yet.
But he's a dink yet, really. Not a dinky.
Well, there's still time, yeah.
Well, yeah, but not if Rob's anything to do with it.
So I've got two daughters. I'm a skinty.
And on that note, shall we spin the wheel?
Yeah, yes. Let's go.
Oh, it's spinning!
What's it gonna be?
Oh,
I'm just so excited!
Come on!
You're nearly there!
The Wheel of Features!
So we've got last week's plot puzzle. I will give you the words again. Are you ready?
Yep. Oh, yeah!
Voyage, destiny, ocean, spirit, identity.
Yes, because I said...
Titanic, you said.
No, I didn't. I said the blue people.
Avatar.
Oh, Avatar.
I said, what did I said something, I can't. I did say that to her, I went, that is definitely it.
Yeah, it
what
weren't
was it?
Titanic.
No, it weren't Titanic, it was, say the words again, Kirk.
Voyage, destiny, ocean, spirit, identity.
Yes. I said Interstellar.
Interstellar, yes. You did, that's what you said, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And
I
just
said
right.
Another one, Waterworld.
Waterworld?
Oh, that big hit.
That absolute flop that I still think to this day is still one of the best films ever.
I liked it. I
love
film.
That film. Yeah. It got slandered for no reason.
Yeah. Other Mark?
I had two guesses. I had Pirates at Caribbean.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you did.
And the Goonies.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, I said that real good shout.
You had a third guess.
Did I have a third guess?
You did.
What was my third guess?
It was the correct answer.
Was it?
Oh, so you said Interstellar as well.
No. What was it?
So, Voyage, Destiny, Ocean, Spirit, and Identity. And the third guess you had right at the last minute, Moana.
I remember now,
Come on, Disney fan here.
Yeah, so it's funny because when I first put it into AI Jukebox Jam, it gave me them, but instead of the word spirit, it gave me the word demigod.
That was too obvious.
I just entered back into chat. Can you change the word demigod to something? It changed it to spirit.
I wouldn't have got that. I still wouldn't have got it. If
I would have got it with demigod.
Would you?
Well done, Mark.
Yeah. You're welcome. Yeah, well done, Mark.
As your prize,
you're welcome.
You can spin the wheel.
Hey.
Right then, are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to spin the wheel.
Ready. Spin it.
Here we go.
Oh.
this one.
We bring to you today's broadcast.
I have a dream.
They think it's all over. It is.
It's one small step for man.
You must stay at home. Today in history.
Right, so it's today in history. So
you know, it best be a good one, this one, because I always look forward to it.
You know,
I'm excited.
You know, well, listen, I don't have up to the day, do I? It's today's day.
Today's today, yeah.
So it's 11th of April today, guys. So this is today in history. I've got my little piece of paper. So we'll start, as you know, how it works. I'll tell you everything that happened this day in history, and I'm going to go way back in time. So
Way back.
So we started in 1471.
Wow.
Right.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And was this the first birthday party you got invited to?
It was my third. So 1471. So it was the War of the Roses ended on this day, right? With King Henry the VI surrendering to King Edward the IV in London. So I know you guys are going to go, hang on, what's happening there? Why is there all these kings? Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. What I'm thinking. So,
no, that, I know, but go on.
Oh, you know. So we'll
I've read
on.
The book
we'll
about there. It, so, I forgot. So,
go on, Matt, tell us.
No, well, you know.
Tell
so
us.
So basically, the country was split up then. Obviously, there were, because it were England, Wales, England, Wales, Scotland and Ireland and stuff. So obviously England, we had this king, but yeah. So did Wales and so did Scotland. Yeah. But also Yorkshire had a king.
Yeah.
So
the, King so of the North.
King of the North.
Oh, right, yeah.
So, so of course, there were obviously, you know, disputes with each other because they didn't agree. Yeah. So, obviously, there were a war. But
my
this
roses
is the day.
Are better than your roses.
So yeah. That's why it's called the War of the Roses, because the different roses for Yorkshire and Lancashire and stuff like that. Yeah. And that's where it all stems from.
I drive past, I've got a site that's in North Yorkshire.
Yeah.
And you go through a village.
Yeah.
And it's where the bloodiest war.
Of the
War of the Roses is, yeah.
Ah, yeah. Wow.
It's a place called Towton.
There you go.
And you can actually walk it. And there's all like signposts, and you can stop and read about different bits.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Towton.
It's not far from like Tadcaster, that sort of way.
And has that sign been up since 1471? Because that's when the war ended.
Is it?
What,
yeah.
What I don't understand
is
obviously the War of the Roses were between Yorkshire and Lancashire.
Yeah.
So why did he get killed in London?
Well, I don't know that. Oh. I tried to research it, but I couldn't run out of time.
Do you know, Kirk?
No.
No, I don't know why.
That I didn't know he got killed in London.
I do find it very interesting that at the rich history of this country and the countries around us, it's amazing.
I mean, I've told you a book to listen to, but you won't listen to it.
What's it called?
Unruly.
Listen to it.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll talk about that another day.
Excuse me, guys. This is my special meal with features. You can talk about something else another time. So we're moving on then to 1612. What have I put here? So it was the last burning of someone on the stake in this country. In the
burning
at the stake.
Oh, burning.
Burning.
They burned someone. Birding.
Burning.
Right.
Match, lighting them, setting them on fire. 1612 this were, and it was it's last, so we've not burnt anyone since. Not on purpose. And what have I put here? Oh, his name was Edward Reitman, right?
Right. Is that his name? Edward Reitman Wright?
He's not wrong.
Guess what you were burnt for?
Being a witch.
No, good guess.
I know.
Stealing.
Shall I give you a clue? It was a radical minister at the time.
Drinking holy water.
No.
Thought that he was the devil.
No, you'll never guess it.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Gossiping.
Oh, wow.
I know.
And they set him on fire for that?
Yeah. I mean, they called it hearsay back in the day, but basically we call it gossiping now.
Wow.
When they set him on fire. I mean, how did they know it's true? You would just gossip. I mean, but they set him on fire. Anyway, moving to 1900 then. So USA bought their first submarine, right, in 1900.
Yeah.
So this was the first submarine in the world, apparently, as well. And they called it USS Holland.
Oh.
Who did they buy it from?
From the submarine. Who made it? I don't know.
In Holland.
I thought you were going to say, why did they name it USS Holland?
Yeah, why did they name it USS Holland?
Sorry, shall we cut that back? And sorry, go on, Rob, go for it.
Why did they call it USS Holland, Mark?
because it
you
was.
Don't know.
No, I didn't know because I thought you'd ask this. So I thought I'd research it. It was named after the designer who built it, and his name was John Philip Holland.
Oh.
So because so, I thought, why is they named it Holland? Did they buy it from Holland? But yeah. They didn't. It's right. The designer.
Good research, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you. 1912 then. So what? Give you a clue on this. Yeah. 1912. Go for it.
Titanic.
Exactly. So what happened on this day?
There was
it sank.
There was another submarine.
It set sail.
It sank.
No.
It set sail.
It sank. It,
inadvertently.
Well, it did it the same year, but we're talking about 11th of April, not the year.
It set sail.
It set sail. It set sail from Queenstown.
Yeah.
But that's Queenstown in Ireland, mm-hmm. as we know.
Yeah.
Not Queenstown in New Zealand. 19 is there Queenstown? There is a Queenstown.
I have no idea.
There is
I'm
a
sure
Queenstown.
There is.
Yeah, I had an earthquake there years ago. Can't remember.
Yeah,
Queenstown. Anyway, 1936. Yeah. Right, first Butlins opened.
Oh,
ooh, which one?
90. I knew you'd ask that, so I researched that. Ingermell's.
Hey.
Now I've got a bit of history on Butlins, right? So this is really interesting about Butlins. So from 1936 to 1966, they built 10 Butlins in total. They built one in Ireland.
What's plural for Butlins?
Butlinses.
Butlin-linses. Yeah. So they built, because they were a boom in business. I mean, it was Billy Butlin, weren't it? That was his name.
Billy
so,
what?
Billy Butlin. And they built one in Ireland.
How many?
10. One in Ireland.
What's plural?
Geo.
One in Spain. And they built one in Bahamas.
Wow.
Where was the other six?
Well, scattered around country. Oh. But like Barry Islands, obviously down south, that sort of thing. I mean, and as you know, the company still exists today. So 1936, I mean, not they weren't as popular as them. They also had a revolving restaurant in the post office tower. That's how it's how big the company was at the time. Multi-million pound company.
Wow.
That's blown my mind a little bit. That. Bahamas, a Butlins in Bahamas.
Yeah. I mean, it's still there, but it's not a Butlins anymore. Obviously, it's sold off. But I mean,
when you went to that one, though, you had to go in your nightwear, didn't you?
No, aye. I've got a joke coming.
You go to the Bahamas in your pajamas.
Oh god! Yeah,
and then you come running down the stairs.
Go on, carry on, Mark. Please.
You realise how many people listening to this just won't get that reference.
No, I haven't got it yet.
No, I haven't. I'm thinking about next year, bananas, which is 1970.
Oh,
carry on, Mark.
So 1970 then, Apollo 13 was launched successfully. But 2 days later, it ran into difficulties.
Yeah.
And this is where...
Did it try saying it?
Yeah, this is where we get the famous line from, which is...
Houston,
we have a problem.
We have a problem.
Now, Tom Hanks run it.
Was he?
Yeah.
Now go on.
No.
However, right, I think we're going to...
It wasn't very big in it.
You're going to say that's not what was actually said.
That's right.
What was said?
That's right. That weren't actually said. It was... what they actually said was, Houston...
Houston, we've dropped a rate clanger.
Houston, we've had a problem here. That's what they actually said.
Oh.
So it's similar... But it's the like what we're going to do.
It's like if we gave you the script and you read it.
Yeah, because it's the Nelson Mandela effect, isn't it? Where people misquote things.
Yeah, just the Mandela effect. Yeah,
Nelson Mandela.
It's just Mandela.
Is it not?
It's just Mandela.
All the irony. See,
that's the beauty of it. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. So 1976.
Yeah.
Right, another one. So Apple One computer was built. Right. And Steve, I can't pronounce his surname, but Steve Jobs.
Steve Wozniacki.
Wozniak, weren't it?
Wozniak. He wanted
was
to...
Was he?
Steve Wozniak wanted to...
He was or he wasn't?
1976, Apple One computer was built, and Steve Wozniak wanted to give it away...
To Nelson Mandela.
And Steve Jobs... recommended they sell it, which of course they did. So they didn't actually give it away, but Steve Wozniak wanted to. I've written 1981 here and it's blank, so I don't know what happened in 1981.
Run out of ink.
Anyway, so I'll skip on that because I don't know what happened in 1981. And in 2019, the world's largest voting took place in India, right?
Right.
obviously, you know, there's a lot of people. So how many votes do you think were cast?
What were it for?
The Indian general election.
Oh, right. India. You just said they were voted.
Sorry, did I not say Indian?
No. No, you said Indian and it said general election.
Oh, yeah, well, it was a general election in India in 2019. Biggest there's ever been.
8.2 million.
Wow. Okay.
I think I would have said about 4 million. I don't know. Mark?
I'm going to go to another extreme and say something like 170 million.
And Mark's the closest. 900 million votes were cast.
Whoa! Whoa.
And that was 2019. So, as you know, today, 11th of April, celebrity birthdays. It's Jeremy Clarkson's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
He's 64.
You're still more than welcome to come on the podcast if you ever you want to.
Absolutely. Yeah, bring some of that complimentary Hawk Stone with you.
Yeah.
It's Josh Stone's birthday. She's 38.
Josh.
Is it Josh?
Josh.
Harvey says Josh here.
You wrote it.
Exactly.
Isn't she female?
Is it female?
Yeah, she's female.
Yeah, how many females do you know called Josh?
What's the
she
name?
She could also come on this Joss. Podcast, but please remember to keep your shoes on.
Josh.
Well, it's her birthday. She's 38. She's listening. And it's, as you know, it's National Days today, so it's National Submarine Day.
Ooh.
Oh. I don't know if it's all to do with that 1900 one. But
I bet
no
that
idea.
Went down well.
And it's also National Barbershop Quartet Day.
Ooh. Oh,
we're a quartet.
Yeah. We almost did it together in harmony.
Yeah. We look like a barbershop's disaster.
Yeah. And if it is your birthday, you'd be an Aries, so you're a ram, which is the first sign of the zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, as you know, last thing I want to say, if you were, hang on, what have I written there?
When you were conceived.
If you were conceived, yeah.
We're at Butlins.
If you were conceived.
If you were born on this day, you would have been conceived
That's what I normally say, yeah. That's right. I got confused. So if you conceived
like
today.
You could read the future.
If you conceived today, no.
No.
If you conceived today, they're probably not listening to the podcast.
Yeah.
And if they are, go on, son!
If you were conceived today, you are probably not being born yet.
Anyway, July 19th.
That's best joke ever told.
Anyway, so if they're born today, they were conceived when?
July 19th.
Thank you very much, Mo.
That's today in history, 11th of April. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Mark.
See you later.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your continued support with our independent podcast. Did you know that you can interact with us and other listeners on Facebook on the Chat In Tap Room Facebook group? You can also get in touch via email in the chat at gmail.com and, of course, on any of our socials. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.